It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Right. My guest today is a former Special Forces Green Beret. He spent 21 years in the Army, and he is the founder and CEO of Alpha Elite Performance. Travis Wilson, welcome to Can You Survive This podcast?
Thank you. I hope I can survive.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's see here. So tell me about AEP, Alpha Elite Performance.
Alpha Elite Performance. It's just something that kind of, I went to school for exercise science. I've always been interested in supplements, working out, physical fitness, all that good stuff. So as an active duty Green Beret, towards the end of my career, had a near fatal free fall accident, thought I was going to get kicked out of the military. So I needed something to fall back on. So really just started researching ingredients and things like that, that can help with recovery, endurance, and came up with a product called Emperk, which we still sell today. And really just kind of that's how I got into the space of the supplement industry. AEP, Alpha Elite Performance, just kind of that name itself came from ODA Alpha, the A-Team, Elite Special Forces, and Performance. Everything that we did was driven on performance, to include what we do today.
And did you also create Emperk to heal yourself after your parachute accident?
I mean, for the most part, yeah. But I also had, my buddies, and I formulated that one with a buddy who was a MARSOC guy, a Marine, who was already out. And he was in that space of the supplement industry. So he kind of steered me in the direction of three natural ingredients: Daylorong deer antler, a little green tea for some energy, and then creatine to hydrate the muscles. But it's that Daylorong deer antler that kind of is the catalyst of recovery and endurance. So, but yeah, it's really what, I mean, I had a total of 13 surgeries after that accident. One being, a back break where I had disc replacement surgery. But I think that what really helped me recover was just a really good diet and working out, so.
What was your diet? Were you just eating really clean, eating lots of protein?
I mean, just, eating really clean and eating a lot of protein, things that, aren't gonna, just natural as much as you can, Like staying away from the Taco Bells and McDonald's and the Burger Kings and all that bullshit that they put on military installations. Kind of the same way that I eat now. I mean, I just got done eating, ground turkey and some tomatoes, sweet potatoes, and that's it.
Yeah. And I've heard it's really the inflammation that, like, all the processed foods are causing inflammation that make it harder to recover.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and alcohol too. I was a big, I'm not going to lie. I just had a good time in Nashville this past weekend at an event and drank a little, and I felt it, and I still kind of feel it. It takes about 72 hours for alcohol to get out of your system. And I would imagine probably the same for a lot of that garbage, that is in our processed foods. So eating clean is the way to go. And from that, we have other products that, help with that clean lifestyle, with like our ODA Super Greens and things of that nature.
And how long have you guys been doing AEP? How long have you been in business?
Well, I started Caliber Nutrition first, selling other people's products and kind of just learning about all that stuff and sales. While I was active duty, funny thing is I never got discharged from the military. I actually healed up well enough to stay within Special Forces, went to the intel side of the house, but still started this business. So I was running a business and active duty at the same time, called Caliber Nutrition and Fitness in Colorado Springs. And then in 2018 is when we really, branched over into AEP, Alpha Elite Performance, and focused on, our brand with this logo and Alpha Elite Performance.
Got you. I want to ask more about the deer antler, but before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about your fall? Can you walk us through what happened and how you survived that?
Well, I'm going to say it was the good man upstairs that helped me survive that bad boy. It was a night jump. We were in Eloy, Arizona, in training in preparation for combat operations downrange. And I had exited the aircraft just fine. Last guy out, usually always the first guy to hit the ground. I'm a large man, 6'3", always weighed over 240 pounds. And I was coming in on final and just, I don't know if it was night desk devil or something, but everything was working appropriately, talking to my guys. And I just lost control of the left side of my canopy and just spun. I had just turned on final, so a little below 500 feet. At that point, there is no time for corrections or pulling your reserve, because it takes a good 400 plus feet for that reserve to really pop open. So the emergency procedures were just kind of out the window at that point. And it was more like a panic mode. I started climbing the left side of my risers, like from back in the static line days. But then I just kind of woke up with some lights around me, and here I am. So the medics on the ground at that time were phenomenal. When I woke up, I thought that I was impaled because my back was broken. Other things obviously hurt, my legs, my knees. I wasn't all really there mentally, but I had a fentanyl lollipop in my mouth already, because they knew that I was going to be in a lot of pain. There was a team on the ground that was watching that night jump through night vision goggles and watched it happen and heard it. And apparently it sounded like two rocks slapping together when I hit the ground there. I missed the grass. There was some nice lush grass there, but I hit the desert floor.
So you basically fell, you were basically spinning and then hit the ground?
Yeah. Yep. For the most part. Yep. I mean, yeah, that's exactly how it happened. I remember because there was a building to my right and I remember, the flash of the light, dark flashlight, dark, then boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happened pretty quick. Honestly, I can't say that I was scared. I don't remember being scared. I just remember like, what the hell? This isn't right. And that's.
And just, so did your parachute basically malfunction? Is that what caused that?
No, because there was after the investigation, they checked the parachute and it was all good to go. It was just twisted a little bit. And I think we hit a night dust devil, which apparently don't normally happen. But yeah, I did. There wasn't any trees or power lines.
So. And do you remember even hitting the ground, or is it basically like it happened so fast that you kind of just black out from that?
I remember getting close. I think that's about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I hit my head pretty hard. I spent about 8 weeks at the brain treatment center as well for, TBIs. And I obviously, that was the big one, but there were some other ones throughout my military career with explosions and things. But there was a really good concussion with that bad boy.
I'm glad you're okay. That is just absolutely miraculous.
You know what? I am too. And I was just talking about it this past weekend with somebody and saying that I have been very fortunate with the surgeries that I've had, because like the ankle reconstruction one that I had has been great. Occasionally it gets sore. In cold air, I do feel, I feel some pain in my knees. I have two partial knee replacements already, but I think that was just, those two were from over time. There was, some hairline fractures and things like that. But the biggest one really was shoulders and head, obviously, and my back. So it just it shattered some vertebrae and caused some discs to shoot out into my spinal cord. So I had spinal cord compromise for a little bit. Kind of lost the feeling of my left leg and my man junk, which I did not like. But it's a funny story how that happened, how I found out that I couldn't feel my wiener. The nurse was playing around with the Foley catheter and I was like, oh, not trying to be a pervert, but can you touch that again? And she did, and I was like, this sucks. I can't feel that at all. But
But it's back now, yeah.
Once the swelling came off that spinal cord and those nerves, I guess it's it all came back, and it felt like fire ants actually for a little bit. But
wow,
but yeah, my stuff works.
And so everything's back. You can walk fine. You can work out. You can run. You can do it all.
I don't run. I don't do anything that like heavy squats or anything like that. It's usually just air squats. My muscles atrophied quite a bit after that, not being able to use my legs for a while. Other than my calf muscles, they've always just stayed big, but my quads have kind of atrophied. And it's just been hell trying to get those guys to come back when I can't do a lot of heavy squats with the downward pressure on the fake discs in my back. But yeah, I don't run and I don't do heavy squats or anything that's going to put a lot of pressure on my back. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I have jogged, and I actually did the Army 10 miler after I broke my back and had the surgeries. But I walked half of that, you know, taking pictures of all the sites. So, but yeah, now I'm just standing in front of a mirror and work out aesthetically. You know what I mean? I'm not getting paid to lift weights and you know, so I do it so that I look good dead.
Do you know, I'm just really curious about the fall. Do you know if you landed like on your side?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. It was the right side of my canopy. See, my wife was just telling me today, like, I have to remind you about everything. It was the right side of my canopy, right body, and landed on my right side and kind of rolled, just kind of crushed the whole upper, all of this. So, but I've had surgery. This is my right side, even though it's reversing the computer. But I've had 3 surgeries here, elbow, bicep, which, you know, looks like a little Popeye arm now. Yeah. I think there was some, obviously some fractured ribs, but not like horrifically fractured either, which was great. And all in all, I remember the doctor days later in the Phoenix Banner Good Samaritan Hospital say, this is pretty phenomenal that, I mean, you're hurt, but you're alive and you're not significantly hurt for what you went through. So, you know, here I am.
That's amazing. Pretty
embarrassing. I didn't get to deploy after that. I was pretty pissed. But
I think it's an absolute miracle, man. I'm happy that you're okay and you look great.
Thank you.
I talked to a woman once who had been in a skydiving accident. Uh-huh. And the guy that was like kind of attached to her back.
Yeah.
You know how like
tandem?
A civilian. Yeah. The guy who was attached to her and kind of running it for her. He was a former Navy SEAL.
Uh-huh.
And she told me this story. It was funny because I used to work in a hockey store and I was actually helping her daughter to put on skates.
Uh-huh.
And one of my colleagues was like, you got to go, like walking by. And he was like, you got to go skydiving, man. It's the best thing in the world. And I was kind of like, I don't really want to. And then this woman, this is many years ago, I look at the mother of the little girl that I'm helping with the skates. And she's got like tears in her eyes after I said that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so sorry. Did I say something wrong? Is everything okay? And she's like, I'm just happy to be here with my daughter. I've actually been in a skydiving accident. And she goes, I'm pretty sure it was the Navy SEAL that saved my life because we were skydiving and the first parachute, something went wrong with it. And then he tried to deploy the second parachute and something went wrong with that too.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, as we're falling, he says to me, the parachutes have failed. Prepare for impact. And she said at the last moment, he rolled us so that we landed on our side and he took most of the impact on his side and really absorbed most of the impact. And she said both of them lived. And I thought it was just an amazing story. So that's why I was thinking, like, did you roll to your side? Is that like a thing that is taught to people if there is a parachute failure that you should try to roll and land on your side? Or is it just like do whatever you can fucking do at that point?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I think so, you know, from the get-go, anybody that's ever jumped free fall in any branch of the service has gone through Static Line Jump Master. And there you learn the PLF, the parachute landing fall, which is to roll up the side of your body to really kind of absorb a lot of that impact. It sucks. If you've ever jumped out of a plane, static line or free fall, it doesn't matter, and you've hit the ground, you've already damaged your body because it hurts every single damn time. But I think that was his instinct to roll that way. And also probably because, he was just being chivalrous and he did not want that woman to, be injured. And why not sacrifice yourself for this lady that, you know, came out there for a good time, and to enjoy, what free fall was all about. I think that's wonderful that he did that, because I'm sure he, was kind of making the ultimate sacrifice. I think that's pretty damn awesome. That's the guy that you need to get on your podcast as well.
Yeah. It's like one of the most amazing stories I've ever been told. And she said, I'm pretty sure he saved my life.
Yeah.
So absolutely amazing. She's got like tears in her eyes as she's telling me, and I'm like helping her daughter put on skates. And she's like, I'm just happy to be here with my daughter. That Navy SEAL saved my life.
Yeah. That's a hell of a story, man. That's wonderful.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. I'm curious. I heard that you're a hockey player as well. Do you still play or no?
No, not at all. I grew up playing hockey. I played in Alaska, played in Portland, a little bit in Pennsylvania growing up, and then played at Boise State under their ACHA program there. After 4 years of the service, my buddy convinced me to get out and go back to school, which I did. And then we played hockey there at Boise State. Had a good time. A lot of good players. I mean, there were some guys that could have went D1 in the NCAA, but, you know, we all chose, you know, Boise State for a reason. Now their program's doing really, really well. I mean, it was fun, you know, when we were there as well. I did a little men's league for a little bit as an active duty Green Beret there in Colorado Springs. Had fun. But now I just watch hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up playing. I did a little men's league myself. When the pandemic came, it all got shut down. And I actually texted my captain like earlier this year, and he was like, man, the league is back after the pandemic, but it's so much better. It's like all college guys and like semi-pro guys. And I was like, I think I'm good.
Yeah. And, I always enjoyed, you know, meeting a lot of those Air Force cadets or those West Point cadets. And then in Special Forces, there's a lot of, you know, damn near Olympic athletes. You know, we've had some Olympic athletes that I served with at 10th Group. With a lot of great hockey players at 10th Group, you know, having come from the service academies or other colleges that were Division I. So men's league was pretty, pretty competitive.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I got another funny kind of, to me, it's a funny hockey story. So I was working at a hockey pro shop like in the early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
And it was at an ice rink, and we had a lot of Wounded Warrior guys that played there. And there was one guy who had a fake leg, but he didn't tell anyone it was a fake leg. And so he could skate on it. He could skate around, and he looked like he had two regular legs.
Yeah.
And he went sliding into the boards once, and the fake leg completely twisted around and was like facing the other way. And everyone was like, oh God, don't move. Don't look down. Don't look down. They thought it was his real leg that had completely twisted around. And so it gave everyone a good scare with that.
Yeah. And he probably wasn't grimacing at all. I was like, what? What's the deal?
Yeah. Yeah. Just twist funny. It right back around and everyone's like, oh my God.
Right.
But yeah, I think they said, hey, please give us a warning from now on if you're wearing a prosthetic.
Right. That's hilarious. That's a good story.
Yeah. So okay, so the deer antler, what's the deal with that in the M perk?
So muscle performance endurance recovery complex. Deer antler, you know, Ray Lewis made it famous with the, you know, the spray stuff under the tongue and all that stuff. But deer antler really just, it helps with, it's a Chinese herbal medicine. It's something that's been studied. You can read about it on WebMD. You just Google all about it. But it helps with high cholesterol, bone density, strengthening your immune system. A lot of times people say that it does things for their libido and then relieves stress as well. Without getting into the science of it all and where, you know, how it's, you know, made and all that stuff, it really is just a really good product. It's not a gimmicky product at all. Like some people have said, that they believe that Ray Lewis from the Baltimore Ravens and all those guys got busted for using it and it was just a gimmick. There is crap deer antler out there, and then there is really good deer antler out there, and we sell the good stuff. And it's nothing that's going to make you piss hot on a piss test, which is great, even though they regulate everything that goes into your body, which is kind of sad. But you know, they've said that that's something that a lot of the guys can't take, but just say I'm taking it and works wonderful. I don't take it all the time, but I'll go through cycles, and take that along with our, Alpha Test X2 testosterone booster, which helps your testosterone levels increase naturally and your free testosterone. A lot of people say that there's no such thing as a testosterone booster, but I can assure you, I wouldn't, you know, take it if there wasn't anything, if there wasn't such thing as one. So, but anyway, yeah, it's phenomenal. And it's something that you don't necessarily have to cycle off of the M-Perk that is, and women can take it as well. And we have a lot of women that do take it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's just those three ingredients. The M-Perk is just a Daylerong deer antler, the green tea extract, and a little bit of creatine to hydrate the muscles. Not enough creatine. I also take additional creatine every day, 5 grams of creatine a day. And
So the M-Perk is it protein?
No, it's a capsule, and it's three capsules that you take. It's not a protein. It's just the Daylerong deer antler, the green tea extract, and the creatine all in capsule form. Mm-hmm. And you take those, men take it 3 times a day, women take it 2x a day. So morning, lunch, and dinner, and once before workout. The one before workout is really just, if you don't take a pre-workout, the green tea extract is supposed to just kind of give you a little, you know, explosiveness and energy. But
I was going to ask about that, if it was for energy or if it has like anti-inflammatory properties.
That's really just in there for the energy properties, but I'm a stim junkie. I have like 5 cups of coffee a day, so I don't even feel that.
Yeah. So. When I'll tell you, when I was my biggest, I used to be a lot bigger, but when I was my biggest, I was taking a pre-workout and just getting crazy in the gym. And I think the pre-workout had creatine in it too. But yeah, I want to get back in the gym and get big again, but I have to eat so fucking much.
Yeah, you got to eat big to get big.
Yeah, I just have to eat constantly in order for it to work. Otherwise, I can't really get there.
But let me ask you, I mean, what are the reasons that you want to get big for?
Confidence and really just like aesthetics and confidence.
Yeah. No, yeah. I hear you. That's fine. I tell a lot of people, you know, well, why do you want to get big? You know, it's hard on your body. It's just more weight.
Good point.
But yeah, I mean, if it's for aesthetics, you know, maybe it's just 5 to 10 pounds of muscle that you want to put on, which is a significant amount. Yeah. You're not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but yeah, aesthetically, you're going to look good. I'm in an industry, and I'm honest about this. A lot of people are like, you know, why do you work out, or you don't need to slow down or whatever. But I'm in an industry where if I don't look like I'm in this industry, it's not going to help sell product, you know, and you have to be honest with the people that critique you. And then you got to be honest with yourself. You can't be a 400-pound, you know, slob and, you know, have a company that, you know, is in the health and welfare industry. So fitness industry. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I also, I want to look good. I want to look good for my wife, you know, and I do a lot of speaking engagements, and I was just on stage in Nashville this weekend, and I want to be able to look good up there as well, you know, because it helps.
Yeah. I just want like 5 to 10 more pounds of muscle.
Yeah. Man, that's pretty easy to do in a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be able to do it in like, when I was in my 20s, I could do it in like a few months.
Yeah.
But it's not as fast as it used to be.
Well, and a lot of the times, you know, are you checking your testosterone levels? Like, we have a testosterone boosting property, you know, product. But a lot of people don't need to take that because maybe their test levels are low. And have you gone to the VA and had your test levels checked? If your test levels are low, you might, you know, qualify for, you know, TRT, testosterone replacement therapy in small doses to get you to where you should be so that you feel better. And it's not just, I mean, that will help you in growing muscle, but not like, you know, it's not a steroid that's going to, you got to work hard for it. Still, people who use steroids, you know, in mass amounts, work their asses off to grow that god-awful amount of muscle.
Yeah.
But testosterone therapy is definitely going to help you get back into the gym, help you stay lean, help you build muscle, and help you feel better, help cognitive, you know, cognition and reasoning and thought, and make you happy. I know a lot of guys that had low T and were depressed, and they got on testosterone replacement therapy and did a 180 and felt wonderful about life. So there's a lot of good things about TRT.
Yeah. So I guess for the listeners out there too, then make sure you're getting your test to see where you're at with your T.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know in the soft world, in the special operations world, it seems to be pretty common for guys to have low testosterone to be running at such a high level for so long. And then when they just, you know, get that desk job, that staff position, whatever, their test levels just crash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it happens often. But it happens to all men. It's not just special operations guys. I just use that as an example because that's where I came from. But it really is important. And, you know, I'll tell all your listeners, if you think it's a steroid, it's not. Under doctor supervision, testosterone replacement therapy is phenomenal, and you can do it the rest of your life. There's guys that'll be on it for the rest of their life, you know, whether it be a half ml or a full mlcc you know, a week. There's other ways of, you know, there's different ways of putting it in your body, whether it be injection, the gels, or the beads, the little, I don't know. I think those are garbage. I've done it, and I'm an injection guy. So
got you.
Yeah. Yeah,
for me, once I get there with like, if I pack the muscle on, I just have to eat so much fucking food to keep it on.
Well, I mean, is that such a bad thing?
No, not really.
I mean, but like, what kind of food are you eating? You know, you really do you have to, I mean, no, you do have to eat a lot. I eat quite a bit normally, but
yeah, I'll eat like a couple chicken breasts and like a plate of rice, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
it sounds fabulous.
Just constant protein is how to is the only way I can really do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like the sounds of that though. That sounds fabulous, man. We go to HEB here in Texas and we get the big old thing of chicken for like $5. It's still cheap here, and just chow down on that bad boy.
I've also found, and this doesn't do anything for me getting bigger, but it just helps me feel better, is if I take electrolytes as well. I got to eat a lot of food to get the size, but sometimes I'll feel kind of like shitty and sluggish, and then I'll have like one of those electrolyte powders, and it just helps everything feel a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I get that. Electrolytes are wonderful. We have a great one called Rally and Recover, which we bring with us to all our events, and we like to make sure that people utilize that after a day of drinking so that they are hydrated the next day.
Yep.
I know that I do that. I drink it. But also, you know, there's one other product. It's essential amino acids, or branched chain amino acids.
Yes.
They metabolize in the muscle, not the liver. So they're great in helping build muscle. If there's anything that I tell people that they should take, it's essential amino acids, which have the BCAAs in them. protein, whether you eat all your protein or get it in a protein shake form. And then what's the other one?
Creatine.
Anyway, essential amino acids and protein are pretty damn important. And creatine, yeah. Creatine. Yeah, there's a lot of studies going on with creatine right now.
Yeah. So that's one that one I'm glad you said that, because also when I was much bigger, I was taking a lot of BCAAs, a lot of branched chain amino acids.
Yeah. And they're relatively inexpensive. I'll tell your listeners, if you're listening on Black Friday, we're going to have a 50% off your entire order sale. So, you know,
hit us I'm going to get in on that. So what is that? Where is that? AEP Alpha
Elite Performance.com.
AlphaElitePerformance.com. Yeah, Black Friday, yeah. Get 50% off your whole order.
Yep. Yeah. But essential amino acids, protein, creatine are great. Pre-workouts are wonderful. A lot of people say that's a young man's game. And in some instances, it really is. I mean, because high stimulants, do we need that at our age? I'm 48. I don't know how old you are, but it can increase. It's a high stim. So, you know, blood pressure, all that good stuff. If you've got heart issues, I don't know.
Do a lot of those. I haven't taken them in ages. I'm 36, by the way. But I used to, I think they put like niacin in there or something, because I used to feel like I was fucking burning when I used to take those.
Yeah, man, that'll bring the blood to the surface of the skin. There's also beta-alanine, you know, you get the itchy. Ours doesn't have a lot of that in there. Ours is more of a stim pump, you know, prolonged pre-workout that doesn't make you crash at the end of it. It kind of can, it dies out nice and even. So that was it is called Pipe Hitter, but it's pretty popular pre-workout. It's what they call soft guys, special operations guys, is Pipe Hitter. So, you know, I jumped all over that.
And I was starting to check out some of your stuff to get ready for this show. Do you guys also do sleep aids?
We do. We have, yeah, it's called GBNT, Green Beret Nap Time. So we also have a Greens, ODA Super Greens, and our GBNT Sleep are both approved for use by the Special Warfare Center and schools. The detox has, we've proven that it reduces heavy metals out of the body. If you go to the website and click on it, and you'll see the one of the subject tests was decreased levels in lead and antimony, significant decreases. And then the GBNT Sleep is just, it gets you to REM sleep. It's extremely popular, so much so that we're out of it right now, but we should have it back in the next week or so.
And
or
what, less. Can you talk about what's in that? Is it melatonin or?
There's melatonin there, some GABA, some amino acids in there as well, but they just kind of synergistically work together to get you to REM sleep.
And is REM sleep, is that where you dream?
Yeah, yeah. REM.
That's the really important one, right?
Yep, rapid eye movement. That's where the healing happens, man. When people don't get REM sleep, they're not really getting good sleep. They feel restless throughout the day. That's also where your testosterone therapy comes in. It helps you to sleep better as well. You want that REM sleep. REM sleep helps with weight loss. It helps with muscle building. It helps with gray hair, the slowing of graying hair. You know, sleep, REM sleep helps with looking youthful. I'm 48. I apparently get a lot of sleep because, you know, a lot of people are like, there's no way you're 48. But
REM sleep helps with healing physically, but also like psychologically, I think too.
Yeah. Reduces anxiety. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where the magic happens. You want to get to REM sleep. REM sleep's important. I had a sleep study done towards the end of, or right at the end of my career. And my brain and my lungs, stopped talking to each other 88 times in the first hour of the sleep study. And the dude came in and hooked me up to, you know, the machine, I was on a BiPAP, not a CPAP, but a BiPAP. So it forces air in.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't getting REM sleep, and it, you know, it made sense why I was sluggish. You know, I was in a staff position at that time and just tired all the time and you know, low T at that time as well. And so, I qualified for, you know, a BiPAP machine, which sucks. I absolutely hate it. Cause it's,
do you still use it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, Mr. VA.
But hey, apparently it's working because you look youthful and healthy. Yeah. So,
yeah. But I also have this machine that takes ambient air oxygen and makes it a little bit more potent as well. and it hooks into the machine.
Wow.
So I have to have that as well. So an oxygen machine in the house and the BiPAP machine. So, but I have a central neurological sleep disorder. Mine isn't caused by any occlusions or anything like that. Mine just is my brain doesn't like to talk to all of this other stuff. So,
wow. Yeah. I think a lot of people though, more people that realize it have some kind of occlusion, that's closing the throat down and they're not getting that deep sleep and they're kind of snoring and not breathing. And
Some people need surgical procedures, moving things around, moving the jaw around, the mandible, to make more room. I know a person that just had that surgery done and she sleeps amazingly now. And a lot of people are just overweight. They don't think they are, but they are. And once you start getting past that, you know, even bodybuilders though, have that occlusion that helps them, you know, that doesn't help them, but they snore because of it and it occludes their breathing. So yeah.
Did you feel like you, were you able to tell that you were getting better REM? Like, did your dreams get fucking weird or anything like that?
Yeah. I've had some pretty wicked dreams, some really good dreams I didn't want to wake up from. Some I was really pissed, like, just wanted to continue that one, you know?
Yeah.
But
but that's when you know the healing is happening. When the dreams are getting really weird, that means your body is like really in that good REM sleep, and you're getting the physical and also mental healing.
And we've had some really good feedback from people saying, man, my dreams are vivid as shit. And I'm like, good. Sometimes I've had a couple of people say, I can't take that because I obviously have some demons that I need to work through. And they've, you know, so, and I get that as well. But that's only been told to me a couple of times.
Got you. Well, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to get in on this Black Friday sale.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else? Alpha Elite Performance. What about Alpha Elite Performance Outdoor?
Yeah, man. So we started a nonprofit called AEP Outdoors, and we take special operations, not just special operations, but veterans, but primarily soft guys, just because the footprint's so small. And I know so many of these dudes that need this type of outdoor adrenaline adventure, mental health treatment, which is, you know, I love the outdoors. I love to hunt. I love to go out down to Cabo and fishing. So we've taken some guys down to Cabo to go sport fishing. Heli hog hunting in Temple, Texas. And just this past August, we took one of the first few women recruited into the unit, into special operations. We took her to Africa to hunt 10 games plains animals.
Wow. So
yeah, it's, you know, it's, I just want to be able to get people outdoors, you know, and be with each other. Cabo was an extremely healing trip this last year. Within the first 3 hours, the guys that were there in one way, shape or form knew somebody, you know, that had been killed, or there was just this, 6 degrees of separation or some, I don't know, but we had Navy SEALs, Green Berets, MARSOC, a couple regular Marines. But you know, due to deployments and just this long ass war that we had, it was pretty magical and the start of a really good healing weekend within those first 3 hours. It was really cool. And there we, you know, the next day we go sport fishing for the day. We have dinners with the sponsors and donors. And then there's in the next day, the veterans just get to do stuff together. No veterans or no sponsors, no donors get to go out with them. And then we have one more day of fishing where the donors and sponsors can go out with the veterans, and that's done with Red Rum Sport Fishing. A really good buddy of mine, Toby Nunn, who is also a veteran. Mm-hmm. He owns Red Rum Sport Fishing in the Porch Bar down there, and he is a generous human being. And we work together on being able to provide you know, that trip for those guys. So he's a big part of that as well.
Is that free of charge to
those guys?
Yeah,
the veterans. Yes.
Amazing.
Everything that we do, we take care of monetarily.
That's so amazing. And how do people, how can people find that if they want to do that?
Well, you know, we have, I wouldn't say it's sad, but right now, because they're so small and few trips, they're kind of pricey, but eventually, I mean, I would love to be able to do more than just one a year. But because the footprint is so small, like I always ask the guys that went last year, like, think about who you would nominate, you know? So usually it's a nomination from somebody who's already experienced that. And we're building this family of AEP Outdoors, you know, people that have gone on these trips. Because eventually I'd like to have one big dinner once a year where we can get all these alumni, if you will, together and build this community of outdoor mental health and you know, just kind of grow it from there. Grow the Africa hunt there. I'm actually going to be doing something with that, kind of renaming that part of AEP Outdoors, and then doing some partnerships with some people.
I think it sounds amazing. And I think that building the community and having that camaraderie is such a huge part of the healing. And also, I think it's like a double win because you get the connection to nature and you get the connection to each other. And so I think that community, that sounds like a really positive community that you're building.
And there's a lot of gaps. It's just one gap that, you know, I saw that needed to be filled. There's a lot of great nonprofits out there. I work for the Green Beret Foundation as a volunteer, but I mean, almost like a paid employee. But I love to work for the Green Beret Foundation because I get to work with a lot of the guys that, you know, I served with. But there are things that they don't do, like send people on these types of adrenaline, outdoor adventure, mental health healing trips. And so, you know, that's why I chose this gap to fill and start a nonprofit to do so. But yeah, it's, you know, it's pretty phenomenal. I experienced a couple hunts before starting this nonprofit and thought, well, you know, we have the means to do so as a business. And so, you know, we did it, we started it, and here we are.
Well, I hope your community continues to grow.
Thanks, man.
And, people keep finding you and, keep getting that healing and that connection.
Appreciate it.
So let's see here. We've been talking for a while now. I don't know if you know this, but on Can You Survive This Podcast, we have a hypothetical survival scenario.
Oh, let's do it.
And I want to see if you can survive the podcast. So I got two of them here. I got like a snow based one. And I also got like a Black Hawk Down style one. I'm leaning towards like Black Hawk Down for you. I don't know if you have a preference.
I mean, just shoot, just hit me. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do
it. Yeah, cool. All right. Let's do this. Let me get my notes out here and we'll see if you can survive this podcast.
What if I don't survive?
What's that?
So what if I don't survive?
Well, at least the audience will hopefully learn something.
Good.
All right, here we go. So for your hypothetical survival scenario, you are a lone soldier who has been separated from your unit during a mission in a hostile city. Your radio is broken and you have no way to contact anyone for help. You must navigate the city and survive until you can find your way back to safety. So, your first question, do you A, try to find a high vantage point to get your bearings, or B, stay put and wait for your unit to find you?
I am a Green Beret, and I can tell you that I'm definitely going to be moving under the cover of darkness. And as an 18 Echo, you say that my radio isn't working. But an 18 Echo is a Special Forces Communication Sergeant. I'm definitely going to try and get to a higher advantage point to test that radio. If it's a battery issue, then that's just me. I failed on my part. But usually the issues with radios are man-made unless it's been shot. So get to a quick high advantage point to test the radio. Get a quick bearing. Usually we can test direction or see the direction of, you know, the way that we need to go by utilizing the stars. We've all been taught that within navigation and night navigation, looking out a window and see where the sun is and getting a general direction. And, you know, basically our built-in azimuth in the way that we need to go. So, but yeah, I would definitely be moving under the cover of darkness, slowly, methodically listening. There's a thing that we do called SILS, and you stop, you look, you listen, you smell, before moving any further. So, but if you do it slowly and you utilize just really basic principles of patrolling for yourself, you should be able to get out of that city and And of course, everybody on that team probably has a last known point to reconnect at. If there's a man missing, you know, you go back to that last known point. And then you obviously know where, and you might have to, you know, E&E, and which corridor do you take? And as a Green Beret, we always had those just in case that we had to E&E out of a situation. So, you know, it's, and you just want to go slow. Do I have a gun? I still have my guns, right?
No, you've lost your gun.
Oh, I lost my gun. Well, I'm going to find one. I guarantee you that, man. I tell you what, yeah, we're gonna find some guns.
That's amazing. So you went with A, you got it correct. I think you had some really good points in there about using the stars. And you're the first guest that I've heard say use sense of smell as well.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Well, you can smell your enemy, man. You know, I absolutely loved being, at first I was a medic in the infantry up in the 501st in Alaska, and you know, learned that you wanted to smell like everybody else around you. I think in Vietnam, you know, they ate the way that, you know, the enemy ate so that they could smell like kimchi or whatever. But that was really kind of just hammered in going through the Q courses, Green Berets back in the day, that you want to smell like your enemy. But you can definitely smell the enemy because they're going to smell you. So there are a lot of things that you don't take into the field or into combat, because, you know, they'll smell you. You don't wash your uniform in Tide. You don't wear cologne. You don't wear aftershave. You don't shower every day. You know, you want to smell like ass because that's what they smell like.
Yeah.
And you hope that they mess up and that they showered. And I will say that I fought an enemy that I have smelled before that smelled Gucci as shit. Like, why are you out here in your Iraqi tracksuit smelling like, you know, Dolce and Gabbana, you know, or whatever? It's like, you're giving yourself away, pal. So
that's amazing. That's good stuff. That's the first I've heard someone on here say that, but that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Okay. So you chose A, you got that one correct. You move to a high vantage point to get your bearings. You climb a tall building and you see that you are several blocks away from your unit's last known location. As you start to make your way towards them, you hear gunfire in the distance. Do you A, head towards the gunfire, or B, avoid the gunfire and take a different route towards your unit?
I don't know who's doing the shooting. And I don't know what distance and direction that's coming from, but I'm going to go back to my last known point where my unit was at, and I'm going to avoid that firefight because whoever's there is probably taking care of business. And once I get to my last known point, hopefully somebody is there because we got separated, and that's what, you know, I would imagine was put out. If we get separated, everybody get back to the last known point.
Yeah. B, you got it right. Avoid the gunfight and take a different route. So you avoid the gunfire, you take a different route towards your unit. As you make your way through the streets, you come across a group of hostile fighters. Do you A, engage the fighters in a firefight, or B, try to sneak past them unnoticed?
B, absolute B. There's no need to be John Wayne. Now, you didn't say that they saw me. So if they saw me, then I have to E&E while defending myself. But you want to try and shoot as little as possible, because that also inhibits your means of exfilling. So I would stop and slowly slip out as quietly as possible.
You got it. B is the right answer. So you decide to try to sneak past the fighters unnoticed. You manage to make it past them, but as you continue towards your unit, you come across a collapsed building blocking your path. Do you A, climb over the rubble, or B, go back the way you came?
Is there a way around it? I mean, you don't want to go up and over anything really, because that exposes and silhouettes yourself against the moon if it's at night or whatever. If there's a way around it, that would be the best course of action, because you could probably do that pretty quietly. I mean, that's kind of a, I don't want to go back to where the bad guys were at that I saw. So I'm going to continue to try and make my way around or through that building, that collapsed building.
You got it. You got it. So you don't want to go back towards the enemies.
Yeah.
Ideally, you would try to find a way around. But for this scenario, you got to go over. Just the only, option we got. So
well, then you're laying as low as you can. You're slow crawling and making yourself look like rubble.
Perfect. Okay, so you're going over the rubble. As you do, you accidentally trigger a booby trap that sets off an explosion and knocks you to the ground. Do you A, assess your injuries and take necessary first aid measures, or B, ignore your injuries and continue towards your unit?
You immediately assess your injuries because you could bleed out in 2 to 3 minutes with any type of femoral bleed or any other type of arterial bleed. You know, check your limbs and knock that shit out real quick with a tourniquet that you would probably have on each appendage. And, you know, hopefully they're not debilitating and that you could keep moving towards your unit.
You got it. A is correct. Assess your injuries and take necessary first aid measures. So you take the necessary first aid measures, and then you realize there are enemies closing in on your six. Do you A, crawl into a nearby sewer system, or B, hide in the rubble?
Well, that's an interesting one. They're probably going to be scouring that rubble. So I'm going to probably, sadly, get into that sewer system. And me being a germaphobe, it's going to be really difficult to do. But yeah, probably going to get in that sewer system.
You got it. A, you're on a roll. You got them all right so far. So A, you got it right. You navigate to the drainage system. You navigate the drainage system to the rendezvous point. When you get there, you find your unit has already moved on to a different location.
Those bastards.
Do you A, head straight to the next rendezvous point, or B, rest and assess your situation?
It's going to be a pretty quick, you know, pregnant pause, if you will, to assess the situation. But I don't know how far ahead of me they are. So I'm going to try and make it to that rendezvous point after assessing the situation.
Got you. Okay. So
just kind of both answers, really, if you think about it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're taking a quick pause to assess, but then you're moving on.
Yeah. You know, I want to look at where I'm at. If I have a map with me, I'm going to pull that out. But yeah, I just kind of assess the situation. If that was the last known point, then I have, before you go out on any mission, you go over the mission and you have certain points and rendezvous points, RON sites or whatever that you need to get to. So I'm going to assess the situation, be like, all right, well, then they have to be at this next location and I'm going to move out.
Yeah. So you're going to get moving. You're not going to stay and rest.
No.
Okay.
Quick pregnant pause.
Okay. We're giving it to you. That's the right answer. For anyone playing along, we have A, head straight to the next rendezvous point.
Yeah.
And you got it. So you got it right. The judges say you got it.
I'm tired, man. I got hurt. I had to fix some injuries. You know, I'm like, well, shit, they're not here. Let me drink some water real quick. And then I'm moving out. All right, moving out.
So you continue on to the next rendezvous point. As you do, you come across a wounded civilian who needs medical attention. Do you A, ignore the civilian and continue towards the rendezvous point, or B, provide medical aid to the civilian?
Oh, see, this seems more of like a, you know, right now my life is my priority. So I'm going to be moving out. If I can throw a bandage their way while I'm passing them, that's what's going to happen. But I also don't really want to expose myself to a wounded civilian, because if the enemy finds them, then they can be like, oh, he went that way. So right. I'm just going to keep moving out.
Right. So for that one, we had A or B could be correct. It's really your choice in the moment. How much risk do you want to take by stopping? for all you know, he's not even a civilian. He could be one of the bad guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to keep moving out. I'm not going to expose myself to him.
So, all right. So that one could have gone either way. So you get it right either way. You keep on moving. You finally reach the rendezvous point and meet up with your unit. And together you're able to call for extraction and make it safely back to base. Congratulations. You have survived the podcast.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Amazing, man. That was great. A lot of good info in that. I love the use the stars and also the sense of smell, which I had never heard a guest bring that up before, but really good points.
It's important, man. Use all the senses, all of them.
Yeah, for sure. You
know, it's your life on the line.
So, Travis Wilson, you have survived the podcast. Is there anything else before we sign off? What do people need to know? Where can they find you? I know you got a Black Friday sale. Where do you want people to find you at?
Well, first, I had a lot of fun, man. This is a really good podcast. This was great. I wish you all the luck with this, because this is really good. It's one of the better ones that I've been on.
Thank you.
So Alpha Leap Performance, you can reach me at Travis@alphaleapperformance.com if you have any questions, or if you just want to reach out and say hi, I will answer. Or you can go to alphaleapperformance.com. And we do have that 50% Black Friday sale coming up, one day only on Black Friday after Thanksgiving. Then there probably will be a Cyber Monday deal too on a particular product. I'm not sure which one yet. AlphaLeapPerformance.com. And just check us out. Follow us on Instagram at Alpha Leap Performance. Instagram also, if you go to the bottom of the website, you'll see our Instagram pages. But yeah, AEP Outdoors, AEP underscore Outdoors, or Alpha Leap Performance on Instagram.
There you go. Alpha Elite Performance. And thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.